This is The Rundown. I'm Hari Srinivasan. We are joined in the newsroom by Charlie Sennett from Global Post. Let's talk a little bit about these elections in Egypt. Mm-hmm. Last week or so, we've seen a lot of activity. We saw long lines at the polls. People were very excited. Mm-hmm. But that's not where it finished. There are a series of these elections, and that's there are runoffs with each of them.
Exactly.
So what should we be looking for?
Well, I think what's interesting is the turnout. Turnout was high, although not quite as high as they thought it was, now that we're getting some of the real numbers in. But you're right, we had the election, and now we have the runoff election. The runoff is interesting because the Muslim Brotherhood took about 40% of the seats in parliament. The Salafists, the more sort of puritanical or orthodox Islamist parties, took about 20%. That's a 60% total. That's a lot for the Islamists, both moderate and more extreme, to take. Now they face each other in a runoff. And what I think is really interesting, and we'll see come out in the next few days, is within that runoff, the Muslim Brotherhood and its party versus the Salafists and their parties now have a real street fight in the precincts. Who puts people on the street can win that election. They're squared off. And I think that's sort of an interesting test of where the other two phases of this election will go.
Well, because the folks in Egypt might not necessarily understand that there's the upper house and the lower house and that runoff after runoff. I mean, when
it's complicated. Even Egyptians don't understand
this. Yeah, so I think that when it comes to a lower turnout for a runoff, then it really just matters on who's got the better ground game, right?
Exactly.
And
that's
so
exactly right.
Is there a chance here that we would see the Muslim Brotherhood become more conservative to try to pick off the base of the Islamists, or the Islamists go a little bit more moderate to try to pick off? And then, do we reach a better center?
I think within the ground game, Muslim Brotherhood is going to try to do both, you know, to keep the metaphor going, a passing game and a ground game.
Right.
So they're going to say, basically, in the election, I think they need to appeal to the center. That's how they take a majority of votes and then really seize those seats, mm-hmm. get the seats. In the runoff, they're really up against the Salafists. So there they are going to, indeed, as you point out, have to move to the right of themselves and appeal to that more Islamist vote to bring them in to the Muslim Brotherhood. So I think they'll be playing both sides of the street.
Now, you've been staying in touch with some of your sources from your reporting for Frontline and the NewsHour, and some of the folks that we've actually seen are very integral and integrated in this process. What's happened?
That's right. One of the characters we focused on in the documentary for Frontline was Mohammed Abbas, and he was the young Revolutionary Youth Council member from the Muslim Brotherhood. Remember, he was the one in the street really cheering everyone on with the chant, the army, the people, one hand. And that was really the chant of Tahrir Square. When you think about that, and you think that back then the military was seen as heroic, it was seen as supporting the revolution, he now is very much disappointed in the military, against the military. He's out of the Muslim Brotherhood, and he's part of a new centrist party that wants to have a political system in which faith will be accommodated, but it won't dictate the government and its policies. So he's a sort of Islamist light, in a way, sitting in the center. When I go back next week and the elections of December 14th, the phase two of the elections, I will get a chance to see him as a candidate in the field. So it'll be following that character, Mohammed Abbas, from street revolutionary to leaving the Muslim Brotherhood to becoming a part of the political process. Interesting journey, but every Egyptian has a journey like that.
Yeah.
Whether you were in Tahrir Square or not, one of the things that's exciting and also very uncertain when you're there is that this has changed everyone's life in Egypt, and everyone has their own story to tell about where it's going to take them.
Well, this is where revolution comes with responsibility, the what's next, what now, right?
Exactly.
All right, Charlie Sennett, we look forward to your reports on Global Post, and they'll be linked from the NewsHour website. I'm Hari Srinivasan. Stay with us.